We're in the middle of a sermon series that's going through the different parts of the worship service, going through, for instance, the prayer of confession or prayer or the scripture. Today we're coming to the part of the worship service which is giving. It's called God's Invitation to Share. And as I said in the announcements, if you're a guest or a visitor here, I am really glad you're here. And I hope you'll listen to this sermon differently from people for whom this is their church home. So if you're a guest or a visitor, maybe listen in to think about how we think about giving here, but don't think about it so much as an invitation to give to this specific community, but rather think about it as an invitation to think about giving generously to another cause that is close to your heart and that is close to God's heart. Our scripture, our New Testament scripture, comes from the book of Mark. It's Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. Let's listen to the good news to us today. Jesus continued teaching. Watch out for the religious scholars. They love to walk around in academic gowns, preening in the radiance of public flattery, basking in prominent positions, sitting at the head table at every church function. And all the time, they are exploiting the weak and helpless. The longer their prayers, the worse they get. But they'll pay for it in the end. Sitting across from the offering box, Jesus was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions. One poor widow came up and put in two small coins, a measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and said, "The truth is that this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss, but she gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this passage is often called the widow's mite, because in the King James Version, what the widow gave was called the two mites. The coins were called the two mites that she put into the offering plate. But I heard it called the widow's mite from my favorite widow, my grandmother. She wasn't just my favorite widow, she was, I think, my favorite person. She was who taught me what unconditional love looked like, mostly from her world champion cheese grits, but not limited to those. She also just made me feel like she loved me more than anyone else. I'm sure my cousins would dispute that claim, but she made me feel like I was the most loved person. And I can remember a couple of times when the widow's mite came up. There were a couple of times I remember when her church had a special need and they came to talk to her about it. And she was so surprised both times that they were asking her for it. And so she turned them down both times and she said, "You know, I give my widow's mite and all, but I couldn't possibly give what they were asking me to give." And I think those conversations were bouncing around in my mind when I was picking the stewardship passage for today, the Pledge Sunday passage for today. I thought, oh, this passage will be perfect. You've got people coming before the offering, you know, giving their offering. You've got Jesus making comments about what they're giving. This seems perfect, right? Well, perfectly risky. Perfectly risky. In fact, a woman from the Wednesday Bible study came and cornered me right outside my office on Wednesday at 11 o'clock and said, "How can you preach on a passage like that for Pledge Sunday? It's terrible." The poor woman had nothing. She put everything she had into the offering plate. Do you really think that's a good model for us? That seems terrible. She didn't have anything, and yet that's what she was expected to do, and that's what you want us to do? All that makes me feel is guilty. It wasn't exactly what I was going for. And I tell you, it made me realize that it was going to be pretty hard to comply with three promises I make to myself every time I preach about stewardship. And that is that I won't guilt people into giving, and I won't berate people into giving, and I won't shame people into giving. And so I realized, the more I thought about it, was this passage had a pretty high degree of difficulty if I wasn't going to do any of those three things. And so I decided, instead of focusing on one of those things, on guilting or shaming or berating, what I would do instead is look at why Jesus affirmed this widow for her giving. And thinking maybe if I could figure out why Jesus was affirming her, then we could figure out why Jesus might affirm us for our giving. Because remember, in this passage, Jesus looks at her while she's giving and he calls all of his disciples over. And then this is what he says. He says, "The truth is that this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss, but she gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all." I mean, I can just hear Jesus smiling while he says this. And I think if we can think about why he's smiling over at her, maybe we can figure out why he would be smiling over at us. And think about, well, maybe he could be smiling over us all year long while we give. And that seems pretty awesome. So the first reason I think why he's smiling over this widow as she gives is because she's generous based on what she has. The passage says she puts in two small coins. Now the commentators say that this would have been the smallest coins available, the smallest Roman coins that were called lepta, if you want to be a Roman coin scholar, L-E-P-T-A. And they were the smallest coins. And so think about, there's been 2,000 years of inflation since then. 2,000 years of inflation. So I want you to think in your mind for a second how much these two coins together would be worth today. Right? So she put them in then. There were two coins 2,000 years ago. They were the smallest coins. What would the amount of money be today that they would be worth? So get a number in your head. Get a number. You got a number? You think of both of them together, what both of them together would be worth. Well, here's what it would be. So they're each worth, I want to get my numbers right. So they're each worth 1/64th of a day's pay, a normal day's pay. So the minimum wage in Illinois is $8.25 an hour. So that's at the low end of a normal day's pay. So that's $66 for a normal day's pay. 1/64th of that is $1.03. Two coins would be $2.06. Did anybody guess $2.06 on the nose? Did anyone guess around $2? All right, a couple of people out there. All right, so a couple of people over here. All right, so let's give them a big round of applause. They know that lepta today are worth $1.03 each for $2.06. That's pretty great. You must have been reading my commentaries. So $2.06. Now, here's the thing. Jesus says she gave her all. And so I think it's a very normal interpretation what the woman from the women's Bible study thought, that she had $2.06 and she gave $2.06. But my sense is that Jesus was exaggerating here, in the same way that Jesus exaggerates when he says that the mustard tree is the greatest of all the shrubs. It's not. Or the same way that Jesus says that we should gouge out our eye if it causes us to sin. Or that Jesus tells a story about a slave who was $1 billion in debt. Now, I do think that $2.06 was a really, really, really big deal to her. But I don't think that all she had was $2.06. I do think, however, because she gave $2.06, she had to figure out carefully what she was going to do with the rest of her money, because that $2.06 was a really big deal. And I think that she made that $2.06 her top priority and not just something that came at the end of all of her other expenses. And I think Jesus loved it. I think Jesus loved that she gave that amount that was so important to her. He loved it so much that he grabbed all of his disciples and said, "Hey, come here, I want you to see what she just did." And he loved it so much that Mark wrote the story down when he was writing the gospel. And remember, all the wealthy people that came before her, they gave a lot more than $2.06. But Jesus didn't call anybody over to say, "Hey, look at all the money they've been giving." So there's something about her generosity relative to her wealth that makes Jesus smile. The second thing that I think makes Jesus smile is that she knows that having faith means giving over to God all of her life. All of her life, even her pocketbook. Not so the religious teachers that Jesus talks about at the beginning of the passage. You know, the ones that like to walk around in religious academic robes. We'll skip that part of the passage. But you know, the ones that like to sit at the front, you know, the best seats at the table, and the ones that like to preen around, and the ones that like to be so important, and the ones who are abusing the poor. As if that part of their life they didn't have to give God any access to at all. See, there's something about Jesus that makes him smile when people give God access to all of their life. That's what the widow did. That's not what the religious scholars did. And I hate to say it, but it's not what my grandmother did either. You know, there was a reason that the church could come to my grandmother's house and ask her for money when they had a special need. She had one of the nicest houses in town. And she and my grandfather were always very financially stable. In fact, when she moved into her retirement center, which was a lot like Lake Forest Place, and Dad took over her finances, she would say all the time, "I just hope my money lasts longer than I do." And Dad, who would look up from her checkbook and say, "Mother, at this rate, you could live until the year 2247. And I don't know why, but Grammy kept that part of her life kind of separate from her faith. I think Jesus smiled at her for lots of areas of her life. I think he smiled at her for how much she made me feel loved. I think he smiled at her for the way that her life just exuded the fruits of the Spirit. I think he smiled at her because she had this rich prayer life and because she knew the Bible back and forth. I mean, I think he smiled at her in all sorts of ways and at all sorts of times. But for whatever reason, she kept this financial part of her life kind of cordoned off, and she was satisfied to give what she called her widow's mite. And in this one area, I think she probably missed out on Jesus saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, here's the third thing about the widow's gift that I think Jesus was smiling over. I think she was smiling over because she gave what she could. It was $2.06. I don't think Jesus was actually smiling over the amount of her gift. He was smiling over the fact that she put her money where her faith was. He wasn't smiling over the $2.06. I am quite confident that there were people at that temple giving lots more money than $2.06. In fact, I am sure that Jesus was a lot more interested in her heart than he was in building the temple budget. And it might be risky for me to say out loud in a church service, but I'm an interim, so I'm going to say it anyway. I am not very interested either in what any one of you gives as your pledge. I care. Well, first of all, you know, I'll never see it anyway. I don't see any of that data. I'm not going to see who gives what. But much more importantly, I care a lot more about whether you get a chance to make Jesus smile over you than I do about whether we make our church budget. In the church I served in Bloomington in central Illinois, there were two givers that I think really made Jesus smile. There was a couple about my age. They had four kids that were moving towards college, and they had a small business. And you know, with small businesses, sometimes your income is up and sometimes your income is down. And they made a pledge to the capital campaign when their income was up, and then they had a couple of bad years. And they wanted to be good to the pledge they made. And so they reconfigured their expenses for the year, and they switched some things around and were really careful. And that year, they gave a third of their income to the church. And I think Jesus was smiling at them for putting their money where their faith was. Then on the whole other end of the spectrum, there was a sixth grader, whom I'll call James. And the sixth grader sat in church and he heard me talking about giving and stewardship, and he decided he wanted to participate too. And James was a coin collector. And you know those cardboard cutouts that have slots for quarters? 50 slots, 50 states. And he had been working on filling those 50 states for a couple of years. And that Wednesday at our children's program, he brought me the 50 states quarters because he wanted to give back to God too. It was $12.50. Not much more than the $2.06 the widow gave, but I bet just like with the widow, Jesus was gathering everybody around him and saying, "Hey, look at James. Isn't that amazing?" So today we have our chance to make our pledge. We have our chance to give all next year. And I want to invite you to think about a pledge that will make Jesus smile. I know some of you are A-plus star church members and you've already turned in your pledge. And I know many of you have come to church already with your pledge made out. And I know a lot of you have thought about the letter from the stewardship committee that asked you to think about contributing towards a budget that's 2% higher than last year's. But I want to invite you this morning to not think so much about what you gave last year or even that 2% increase. I just want to ask you to think about what would make Jesus smile with a gift. What would be a gift that would make you reorient your other expenses? What would be a gift that would show that God has access to your whole life? And you know, that might be different than what you planned, and it's okay. You can change what you planned. And maybe you already turned it in. It's okay. You can fill out another card and just tell them, use this one instead. You know, I told you that I wouldn't guilt you, and I wouldn't shame you, and I wouldn't berate you, and I hope that I haven't. But I also didn't want to miss the opportunity to invite you to make a gift that would have Jesus smiling over you, starting today and for the whole year to come. May it be so. Amen.